Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hop on the cat bus. We're headed to Japan for Triazaki.
Join us this December for a month-long exploration of the trees of Studio Ghibli and the films of Hayao Miyazaki.
Just like Completely Arbitrary, Miyazaki's filmography is focused on our relationship with the natural world. So each week we'll dive into the colorful world of a Studio Ghibli movie and talk about a tree important to its story.
We've taken inspiration for tree-related topics from four Miyazaki classics, including My Neighbor Totoro,
Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind,
and Princess Mononoke.
We're turning Miyazaki into Treeazaki.
Get it? We'll see you Thursday, December 7th, for our first episode on the classic Spirited Away, here on Completely Arbitrary. What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts, Alex Croson, and of course, the other host here
is Casey Clapp.
Hi, Casey.
Hello, Alex. Good day to you.
A very good day to you, my good chap.
Yes, thank you. The sun is out. The sky is shining.
No. Yes,
clouds
of course.
Are on their way. Actually, it hasn't rained in weeks. By that, I mean just more than 1 week.
Oh, it's just been frightfully cold.
Yeah, well, actually, it's been kind of like normally cold. Frightfully, you think so? It hasn't been like in the teens.
Here and there. Well, yeah, that's extremely frightful. That's terrifyingly cold.
Yeah, that's like your mouth is frozen into a ghoulish figure.
Yeah, ooh, like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Exactly.
Casey.
Yeah.
You and I are taking a week off from the show.
That's right, we are.
And of course, you just heard a trailer for what's happening next week, the Triazaki.
Oh, I'm very excited about that.
Oh, me too, Casey.
Yeah, we didn't say it there, but we'll say it here. Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Thank you. We were nervous to do that.
We were.
This week, Casey, we have a very exciting announcement to make.
Yes, that's true. Well, and this is why we're taking this week off.
That's right. We are thrilled to let everybody know about a big change here at Completely Arbitrary. This Monday, we will be debuting our brand new support platform, Completely Arbitrary Treemium. Treemium, everybody.
Treemium.
Casey, what is Completely Arbitrary Treemium?
Well, Completely Arbitrary Treemium is our new subscription service, essentially. It is a way for all of you out there to support Completely Arbitrary, Alex and I, and the work that we are doing. We make these jokes all the time, but it is just the two of us out here. That's true. Don't have any producers.
That's right. There are no producers and no interns. It's just Casey and I.
Anyway, yeah, so we're moving away from Patreon, and we're trying to basically consolidate all of our offerings so that we can streamline the delivery to you. It would be, instead of having to go to a couple different apps, it'll be all in one nice, easy to find stream RSS feed. And it will also be many of our other tiers that we have on Patreon. We're going to combine them down.
That's right.
And make it a little bit more consolidated.
Yes, Casey, it is extremely exciting. You and I have been working hard on this. Completely Arbitrary Treemium might just be the biggest thing to happen to our podcast since trees.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're 100% there. But it should be easier to make you, our dear listener, able to interact with us. And we have some exciting new features. It's one of the big reasons we wanted to move to this new platform to begin with. And it's going to give us a chance to really, I think, stretch our legs and do something a little bit more podcast specific, if that makes any sense, as opposed to something that is like Patreon, where it's just for general creators. We're trying to move to be a little bit more focused on what it is we are actually creating.
And if you are a Patreon member, the process to transfer from Patreon to Arbitrary Tremium will be seamless. We've seen it ourselves. It's an extremely streamlined process that we have. And Casey, I don't know if I should do this, but...
come on, you know what? Go for it.
I want to shout out a couple of the features that I'm excited for this new,
all right,
for this new,
all right. What do you
this
got?
New venture. Our new platform has an amazing AMA feature. That's Ask Me Anything.
That's right.
It makes it extremely easy for you to ask a question about trees or other related topics. Extremely easy for us to answer that question, and then extremely easy for you to find the answer when we answer it.
Yes. Right now, it's just one big long stream of comments and then one stream of consciousness question and answer session.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to find when we answer your question or a particular question, that'll all be easy to do.
That's right. It's basically timestamped. It'll take you directly to that part of the answer episode.
That's right.
Very excited about that. You can even search for questions, Casey.
Yeah.
And see if it's been answered before.
And then you can ask it again if you want, either way.
Absolutely. We are also doing gifted subscriptions, Casey.
That's right. We've had a lot of people talk about this, where you have that special tree friend and you know exactly what they want. Yep. They want to be in the Cone of the Month Club.
That's right.
You can't do that with Patreon. So this is a platform that allows us to provide you the opportunity to gift subscriptions to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how many of you out there want this, but I assume it's thousands.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think it's probably tens of thousands.
You're probably right.
Also, we are now going to be offering annual subscriptions, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
You save a little bit of money. This is for the people who like to just set it and forget it, mm-hmm. don't want to pay a monthly subscription, but still want to support the show.
Yes.
Sign up for the whole year and just enjoy the content, not worry about it.
Yeah. So this is, we're going to have a more formal announcement that's going to come out on Monday. And that'll pop up in your stream, in your feed as well. So that'll give a little bit more detail on what to do, how to switch over. And we'll also give you a little bit of info as to what we'll be covering, how much it'll be, that kind of thing.
That's right.
So we really want you guys to do this. If you are listening to the show, we say this at the end of every show. If you are liking what you hear, you want to support us, you want to get a direct line to us to say, hey, do this tree. Hey, you guys rock. Hey, you guys suck.
Well,
pay $5. We'll let you berate us.
Yeah.
We're just kidding. Don't do that, please. It is a great way to support us, Alex and Casey, as to what we're doing.
Yeah.
So if you want to pay more than what is there, you can adjust how much you want to pay for how much you're able to or willing to or want to.
That's right.
Whatever it is. But we would love to have any of your support if you have the means to do so.
Yes, Casey. As I say at the end of most episodes, and as I forget to say sometimes, if you get to the end of your month and you think, man, I've listened to Casey and Alex more than I've watched Netflix. Oh, unlikely.
More than I have kissed my lover.
More than I've read a book to my children. And it's worth $10, $15 to me to hear these guys talk and get cool cone stickers every month. Consider supporting the show. Literally every dollar goes back into making the show because it's just Casey and I here.
Yeah, supports us directly.
That's right. More information, a lot of information, coming to you Monday.
That's right.
But for now, Casey.
Alex.
We've got some appendices to listen to. This is like cutting room floor stuff.
Yes. Which is always fun.
This is basically stuff that I like that we record.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't fit into the cadence of the full episode, or it's slightly off topic, but it's still interesting.
Yeah.
I usually cut it out and I go whoop and I put it over here for later. So we've got a few chapters of appendices for you here. The first one is from our episode on the silver linden.
That's right. Tilia tomentosa.
Thank you, Casey. And this is a bit of a rant.
Yeah.
It's not so much a plant rant. It is a save the bees rant.
Yeah, which some context, and I think I give it in this. We just, you know, we reviewed it.
This one needs context, I think.
It does, yeah.
Because it's salacious.
Right. I, Casey Clapp, am not against bees explicitly. Mm-hmm. Although the idea of save the bees and the problem with bees is kind of what I'm addressing here. And I think I talk about it's the Natural Resources Defense Council or something like that. That talk, like they're all about save the bees. And basically I go on a bit of a rant about the fact that it's a bit of a trope because it's all just commercially industrialized bees that are kind of the things that are dying, which we do need, but it's not like they've misused, I think, their platforms to convince everyone that all bees everywhere are dying.
Right.
And that it's just not the case. It's only the industrialized bees that we work literally to death that are dying.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where this is coming from. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and be like, whoa, feel free to do that. That's fine. But our reaction is going to be like, well, we said, oh, never mind.
That's right. This is the appendix from the Silver Linden on Save the Bees. We'll see you on the next one.
See you later. So, all right, here's my quick rant about bees. Bees are important. Yes, we should have them. We have native species of bees all over the place. I think Oregon has like 50.
Wow.
These are like solitary bees. These are wood bees. These are boring bees. These bees do all sorts of crazy stuff. They are all native bees. The bees that everyone is concerned about that has like the hive collapse syndrome and all this kind of stuff, those are not native honeybees from Europe. So the honeybees from Europe are fine bees, like whatever. They're very good at pollinating things. So what we do here in the United States is we take bees and we truck them literally in trucks from the south where they need to pollinate almonds and all this other stuff. You remember we talked about this, I think, with the almond episode.
That's right.
They will move them up and then keep going with the seasons and move these bees up to the northern latitudes where they'll pollinate whatever the hell they're pollinating up there, and then they'll move them back down. So the bees that are dying are being super overworked. They're not splitting up the hives and letting them kind of naturally go about their work, and they tend to mash them all together, and then all of those bees start getting diseases, and we also throw pesticides all over everything, so they end up dying. That is a huge problem. But the save the bees, bees are nowhere near going extinct. It's just this big issue is because we have like industrial factory beehives, and those are problematic, and we're dealing with the problems and just acting like the bees are dying. It's like the bees aren't dying. It's just the bees that we have co-opted as a part of our capitalist momentum of just moving them up and moving them down to make these big almond plantations and the like work. Those bees are dying for good reason. They are literally worked to death.
And they're not native to where they're being worked.
And they're not native. You go up, there's a place in Eastern Washington that there, I think it's alfalfa is getting harvested and grown. And there's a certain native bee species that will pollinate it the best. Like they're just really good at it because they have this certain form and buzz where they go down and they can buzz just so slightly to get the pollen to fall off. Like they essentially match the frequency of the plant so that it shakes and all the pollen just goes right off.
Amazing.
Then they go to the next one. So they're excellent at pollinating it. And instead of moving other bees around that do it way more inefficiently, they just create a big swath of land where they don't do anything because these are all bees that are burrowers. So they'll go find kind of a blank, dirty area, They'll burrow in, they'll make their little nest in their habitat, and they'll go out and keep doing their thing. And then they do a couple of those, and now they've reproduced.
That's they build their nests in the ground?
Yes, but they're all solitary bees. So each one does their own little hole.
Oh, wow.
And you can walk over, and you can stand next to these, and you can hear the buzzing of thousands and thousands of bees on this berm.
Watch your step.
Exactly. And they don't really care about you. They're just they're going and doing their thing.
Wow.
So unless you're like digging and messing around with them, then they'll pretty much just be like, yeah, whatever, just keep walking.
Wow.
So those bees are native and they're doing really good work. We have plenty of pollinators that exist. Male mosquitoes are pollinators, mm-hmm. right?
Beetles?
I'm sorry. Yes, many different beetles. Mm-hmm. Like so many different species of insects are pollinators. It just so happens bees are very, very good and efficient at a lot of pollination.
And they're kind of the famous pollinator.
That's 100% right. They are, rather, 100%.
Because everything, we can only have one thing of each thing.
Yeah, and we just want it to work exactly the way we want it to work. And if it doesn't work, we're going to force it and we're going to make it work. So that's kind of where we're at. So, you know, save the bees. Yes, I'm all for saving the bees. I would love to have honey and nice populations and everything. But the bees also just don't need our help. It would be better if we just let them live their own lives.
Yeah.
But that doesn't meet our quotas and our timelines. So
So the save the bees people.
Yeah.
What do you mean by bees people?
And bees specific.
They are focused on the colony collapse of these commercial, kind of like almost like enslaved bees.
Pretty much, yeah.
But native bees to North America, the colony collapse is not happening.
It's not happening.
Okay. Yeah. So they've chosen this issue that is very hyper specific and niche.
And is also very like people are paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Because like colony collapse, the bees are dying or they're not going to pollinate our fruit.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ah.
Right.
But I will say as a caveat, they are saying save the bees and saying we need to better manage our pesticides.
Of course.
So it's essentially finding this, I'm going to say charismatic microfauna to push the agenda of let's stop using pesticides and use better management practices to save the bees. So I have no qualms with what they're doing. It's just if the bees that they're talking about are dying, it's not because there's some wild thing that's killing every bee in the world. It's more or less one species of bee, like you said, that's not native, that are enslaved.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, yeah, let them die, and then we're going to have to change our system. Oh, I'm so sorry. We're not going to have literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of almond trees that are being pollinated properly because we've made this giant monoculture with no other habitat for bees. So we have to do this in order to make that industrial scale thing work. It would be better if we took maybe an acre of that away and turned it into great fucking bee habitat.
Yeah.
And let there be like all these little spots of native bees and native populations or native things to allow these things to build and then create a balance in your ecosystem rather than throwing everything out of balance and insisting that we can keep that thing working even though the balance is so completely screwed. So there's like two sides of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Where on the surface, yes, let's save the bees. But when you dig it a little bit, you're like, no, fuck those bees. Let's fix the underlying problem.
Yeah.
And then the system will get back in order. And then our native bees and our native pollinators will just continue to take over it. Also, please stop using all these pesticides. It's killing everything.
I understand, Casey. It seems like it's a multifaceted problem.
It makes sense. Like I said, I'm on board with it. And because it's like, it's this, it's like the engine that's pulling the rest of the kind of project along with it, which is great because the rest of the project, I'm totally for.
I see.
Like, better habitat, better management, and save the pollinators with less pesticides.
Sure.
Super great. But the issue is not as bad as everyone's, like the sensationalness that's kind of come along with that. So it's like a big problem has arisen. People latched onto it for certain reasons that are good, but also some of it is just a little bit out of proportion and blown out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I get you, Case. And I'm thanks for explaining that. And I think I'm on board with that opinion as well.
Cool. Yeah, me too.
I didn't know that Save the Bees was like so There's like a bunch of asterisks next to it.
Yeah, right? And
that aren't printed.
Yeah, and I think it's like the Natural Resource Defense Council is who like is doing that campaign.
Uh-huh.
But it should be seen explicitly as a campaign to advertise for something else.
And what is that? What is that advertising for?
Well, I don't know. I'm not super familiar with the Natural Resources Defense Council, uh-huh. but it's essentially a group that's saying exactly what they're trying to do with their name. We have natural resources. We need to defend those so that they can function properly.
Okay.
So they're saying our bees are part of our natural resources. We need to maintain those because they are they play this very specific role in everything, in the reproduction of native plants, but also in getting us honey, and also the fruit that we eat, because they have to pollinate the flowers first. Yeah. Almonds famously are not they're not self-fertile. You have to have trees next to other trees in order for those things to pollinate each other. So if you don't have the bees, a bunch of problems follow.
Mm.
So there are a bunch of asterisks. I think that's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
But I guess we'd really be like an asterisk and then a cross and then a circle, because, you know, you can't have like maybe one asterisk, then two, then
a
three, then four.
At the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That was great.
What a funny, funny, funny thing.
You know, when you subscribe to Completely Arbitrary Tremium, you're not just getting ad-free listening. You're not just getting cone stickers. You're getting original content from two of your favorite tree podcasters.
Sign up now. 1-800-TREEEEEE. And someone will answer the phone.
Oh, Casey.
Yes, Alex. Okay, so we're back. That was a lovely talk.
Yes.
The
oh, we're getting a call.
Oh my gosh, someone's calling on their tree phone.
It's a tree-lathon.
Yeah, it is. We're just doing a tree-lathon to get people to join Completely Arbitrary Tremium.
That is ultimately what this is. This wow, is we found the game, as mm-hmm. they say in improv.
We sure did.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. This is yes. now a fundraising episode. Yeah.
Yes, Alex, it is a fundraising episode. Now, speaking of fundraising, we talk a lot about fun things that we raise on the podcast.
Wow.
And we talk about a lot of stuff. We get a lot of requests. Not requests. That's not the right term. We get a lot of people who respond and say, you completely missed this thing. Or we don't talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we don't is because, well, we only have a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, as we noted, the producers, the hosts, and the editorial staff for this podcast. So sometimes we choose a tree and you could talk about 1,300 different things. We only have time to talk about 1,200 of those things. So 100 of them have to be put on the, how do you say, cutting room floor.
Yes.
This is an example where we actually talk about neem, the neem tree.
Yeah.
And we discuss that it is, I guess, Margosa technically is what we have it as the show. And we talk about the fact that it is used for another purpose that we weren't able to even really dissect or go into on the show. So it ends up in our premium subscription feed and people can listen to it and get the essentially full, well-rounded episode that Alex had to shake his head at and say, Casey, stop talking.
Uh-oh. The AI is becoming self-aware. That's right. So this clip that you're about to hear. Now let's watch another clip. This one is from our Margosa episode, as Casey said. It is about neem oil. In the episode, we talk a lot about how neem oil is used with human beings.
Yes.
Homo sapien.
Mm-hmm.
But this little clip will show you how neem oil is used with plants. So you thought I was going to cleverly make some sort of...
Yeah.
No,
not at all. Cleverness, gone.
That's right. Completely Arbitrary Tremium. Let's roll the clip.
Now, Alice, hold on. Before we go into our review, I want to give a little something out here.
Wow.
We skipped entirely. That is that neem is an oil that most people actually know of in the horticulture trade.
the horticulture. I always confuse, what is horticulture? Plants in general?
It's plants in general. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So arboriculture is you manage trees specifically. Horticulture is literally anything that you're growing for its aesthetic ornamental purpose.
Commercial trade.
Yeah, that's a part of it for sure. But also you can be a horticulturalist that focuses on growing growing something because it looks beautiful and you're a gardener. And
you're
doing is just maintaining someone else's garden or something.
I got you.
Your own garden. Versus agriculture, which you're growing food plants. So there's kind of those horticulture versus agriculture are the two big ones. Arboriculture is kind of the side, who cares?
It's kind of the younger brother who's just really annoying.
Yeah, exactly. And all the older siblings have gone off. And they're doing their own thing. They've made a name for themselves. And you're just like,
they've all gone to college, started their lives. Arboriculture's at home, still playing Nintendo 64.
Exactly. Yeah. Yelling to everyone, I'm important. And most people
don't. Parents are so tired, they don't even care anymore.
They stopped listening years ago. So neem oil is magic also on plants.
Wow.
You can take neem oil and you make a little mixture out of it with water and you put it into a fine misting bottle, and it is known as 100% safe. I say 100%, but you can always find a way to abuse something and make it bad.
Of course.
But you can use neem on indoor plants, on outdoor plants, on food plants, organic plants, non-organic plants, trees, shrubs, herbs, anything. And it will kill soft-bodied insects, which are the ones that do things like suck and eat leaves, the juices from leaves, I should say.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Last week, I was suffering greatly from a fruit fly infestation.
Yes.
Why didn't I know about neem?
I don't know that neem would actually work in that regard.
They're soft-bodied.
Yes, I think it would do.
I've crushed them with my own fingers.
I didn't even feel it.
That's true, but it's very grim.
Yeah, that's fair.
I felt bad, but
there's plenty out there. I wouldn't worry about it. Did you know, actually, that fruit flies are some of the most studied insects in the entire world?
That doesn't surprise me because they are really annoying. And I think about them and I'm like, I need to know more about you so I can learn how to destroy you better.
It's wild how, how many species, how much we know about them, and why.
Blech.
You know, they have their sperm is longer than their body.
That's great, Casey.
Anyway,
thank you so much for telling me that.
You're welcome, Alex.
Let's get back to neem oil.
Neem oil. It's used. It's organic. It does not hurt you, especially if you take it and you squirt it and you let it let all the water evaporate.
Mm.
The neem oil itself stays on plants and will stop insects in two ways. One, it will actually stop them from reproducing themselves.
Wow.
So there's some, they call them, I think it's incremental insects, or insects like grasshoppers that go from instar to instar. So you have a little teeny tiny grasshopper with no wings, then it becomes a bigger grasshopper with no wings, and then a bigger one, and then a bigger one that has wings, and that's the adult stage.
Scared me.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to spook you. It was really quick. So those are the instars, or what they call it.
Instar.
Yeah, so imagine an insect, it grows, it comes out of its egg, and it is a tiny little version of the adult.
Oh, I see.
Something like a beetle that starts as a grub, or a butterfly, starts as a grub, a caterpillar, and then goes through metamorphosis and turns into an adult insect.
I'm also thinking frog is not instar?
Yes.
Or is this just insects?
This is just insects that we're talking about. Okay. But I will say it does have a negative impact on frogs and amphibians too, so keep that in mind. Whoops.
Ooh, neem oil?
Neem oil does, yeah. Oh. So don't squirt it all over the top of your ponds and water features and things.
Don't squirt your frogs with neem oil.
Don't do that.
We've said it a million times.
I will say it again. Don't squirt your frog with neem oil. Come on. But you can squirt your leaves, Alex.
Ah.
And it stops during that instar development. It will disrupt that. So your little ones won't turn in properly to big ones, and then they die.
Oh, my God.
They also are not eating the leaves because it tastes so bitter and bad.
Wow.
So it stops sucking and biting insects from attacking your plants.
Smart.
And like, you look up the uses of it and it's just like everything. Like there are so many insects that this will have a negative impact on, but those are all the pests. And I swear you could not ask for a better substance, because it doesn't affect butterflies, it doesn't affect bees as long as it's dried. It doesn't affect any other pollinators, like ladybugs, which aren't pollinators, but they attack all these other insects. The beneficial insects doesn't have an impact on, unless you're using it horrifically inappropriately.
Uh-huh.
But if you get up in the morning and you squirt it, like right at dawn, 45 minutes later, it will be good to go. And then it won't affect anything except the pests.
That's incredible.
And doesn't affect humans. You can literally squirt it in the morning and then harvest your fruit the next afternoon.
Uh-huh.
You can just put it underneath water a little bit, eat it, you're fine. Because remember, we can also ingest it, just not in huge amounts.
I will say neem oil is such a good guy.
It is. Like, it's kind of stunning. Like, it does all the same things for plants that it does for us, except it also, like, doesn't do the bad stuff.
Yeah.
It's like,
and it specifically targets the pests. Yeah. That's the incredible part.
Which is amazing, because that's a construct. A pest is just an insect we don't want to be there.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What is it about these certain insects that neem oil harms that neem oil harms?
They call it a soft-bodied insect.
Okay.
So I believe it has more to do with the fact that it doesn't have like a really intense outer shell.
A carapace?
Exactly. It doesn't have any of that.
Yeah.
So it also, those insects that we find beneficial are generally predators. So they will eat all of these other soft-bodied insects, like aphids, mealybugs, that kind of thing.
What about spiders? Are spiders soft-bodied?
No, they are hard-bodied. They are also predators.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it will affect these soft-bodied ones because that's what they eat, the leaf and the leaf juices.
Mm.
So if the leaf and the leaf juices taste horrible, then they're like, "Wah, I'm not going to do that." Then they don't eat, and then your other insects that aren't eating this anyway, they'll eat the things that aren't eating your plants, and now you got two-pronged attack.
Wow.
It's insane.
It's kind of brutal. I mean, I also, you know, I don't know how much to feel for insects.
Yeah, I think you should feel a certain amount because they're animals just like everything else,
of course,
and they do a horrifically good job of keeping our planet working properly.
Yes, I that wasn't me saying I hate all insects and I want them all to die.
Agreed. And no one heard you say that.
I just want to reiterate. I felt something when I went on a fucking rant through my kitchen and killed every fruit fly. It was awful.
It's because you are taking a life and the life is not doing anything to you. It just happens to be doing its normal life thing.
But its normal life thing was really getting in the way of my life.
Yes. Sometimes, like, I got stung by some yellow jackets the other day.
Oof.
And it's at my mom's house and she's like, "Ain't those things staying?" And then she also calls someone to help get rid of ants. And so she said, "Now I got bees." I know. I was like, "Mom, they're not bees," but she didn't care. And then they went down and destroyed it. So now I can go do these things. But see, here's the thing, Alex. I not 20 minutes before that was hearing a story that my mom was telling me about my aunt. She got stung by a bunch of those while she was next to a stump and they ground nest.
Mm.
So she was doing like pulling out weeds or something. They got upset, got stuck in her pants. And so my aunt was like running, trying to get back. But she was also like taking off her pants because there's all these insects in it. And I was like, how did she not fall? So they're horrific. They sting, they bite, they're awful. But those same yellow jackets are what will fly over and get rid of grubs that we also consider pests.
Yeah.
So they do a really good job. They play an important role in the ecosystem. Then 20 minutes later, they sting me and I'm like, kill them all. So, you know, as long as there's not, you know, I don't know.
I know it's complicated.
It's
I think it's also okay. I know this has now turned into a conversation about bug morality.
Okay.
But I also think it's okay to feel both of those things.
I think it is. Honestly, I think it would be more, it's better that you do because it makes you think on both sides of it. So you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
When is it appropriate to smash this little thing? When is it not appropriate to smash this little thing?
I've actually really changed my way of thinking about that over the last, I would just say like the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I used to be a spider killer if it was in my home.
Uh-huh.
I have not killed a spider in so long. I either just let it chill or I'll like get it on a little piece of paper and take it outside.
Yeah, I do. I put on get a jar, put a piece of paper underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they do good things. Like ultimately, it's attacking and getting rid of the insects that you don't want.
It is kind of wild that we've just like all accepted that it's okay to just like murder these things that are in our home.
I would say nature, period. Like, it's okay just to go cut that tree
that's,
down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's okay just to turn this native prairie into houses.
Right.
Like, I think that is probably what you just touched on, is probably the tip of the iceberg as to what's got us in this entire ecological crisis that we're in, is that we so wantonly go take life that is not human, yet if there's a human, we're like, that's the most sacrosanct thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
All other things don't matter. And that, I think, is our, that's an out of balance.
Oh,
we
unless
have.
We're at war. And then.
Exactly. Yeah. Then literally death everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Oh, so, what a species, huh?
Back to neem oil. Use it all the time because it's organic. Mm. It does all the good stuff. It doesn't hurt you. Won't hurt your cats. Won't hurt your dogs. Won't hurt the good insects. It'll just keep the ones in check because trust me, there's enough mealybugs out there. You don't need to worry about them going extinct.
I read that about cats and it's pet safe.
Yeah, people in India, they stick it on the on their backs so that they are treated for fleas and ticks and things like that. So, like, they, one of the things I read, they're like, yeah, it just goes to show how safe it actually is.
I wonder if you could mix it up with some water, dilute it in some water, and spray it on your skin, and it's a natural bug repellent.
You very well may be onto something. I don't know.
I'm sure that's a thing.
I know. What is it? What isn't neem a thing? What is it in...
DEET?
Pesticides. DEET, that's what it is.
Yeah,
but DEET's also like really bad for your skin. You're not supposed to put it directly on your skin.
Yeah.
So it might be, but I think DEET is also a naturally derived substance.
Oh, is it really?
I think so, but I haven't done the research on that. This isn't our DEET episode.
Like synthesized from a plant or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's all those things, like plants are naturally good at doing this. They've evolved these things so that they can attack it. So this is essentially taking... The tricks that the neem tree, Margosa, has figured out, has developed.
Mm.
And now you're just saying, great, I'm going to use that over on these plants.
Hey, you know what? That's pretty curious. And our, own bodies,
and
Casey.
And our own bodies, yeah.
Like we're learning some... you say it all the time. We can learn a lot from trees.
Can learn a lot from trees.
This is a literal application of that statement.
Yeah, and we have. Luckily, this is one where everyone was like, well, actually, that is a really good idea.
Yeah.
It's worked.
One, a kind of curious version of this is syrup.
Yeah.
Like maple syrup or any kind of tree syrup. That it is a defensive mechanism that trees have evolved to have this stuff like push out when they get a cut, right?
Yeah.
It's also like a transportation.
Yeah. Syrup isn't quite on the level because that's more just the trees are essentially filling up all of their capillaries as they're coming back alive.
Oh, so I thought it was specifically like a defense. Like if a bug gets in there, that pushes out some sap.
Yes. Yeah. But that's just slightly different. So that is the tree. You injure the tree and it pushes out the sap, but that sap, like from a conifer, it actually is resin that's coming out, not sap. The sap is the vascular system. Resin is the stuff that's sitting there waiting to clog it up.
I thought sap was the stuff we turn into syrup.
Yeah, that's correct.
But resin is the stuff that pushes out to trap a bug.
Yes, yeah. Now, we see a lot of those things together because you wound the tree, you're essentially bleeding out for a second until it dries.
It's almost like, what's it called? Like making a scab.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Now I'm getting totally off. But
you're not too far, though.
Yeah. It's is that the end of our conversation?
That's the end of our conversation. Anyway, I just wanted to point out, because there's going to be a bunch of people.
What a crash and burn.
It is beautiful.
I'll keep all this in.
Okay, thank
people
you.
People can see how the sausage is fucked up.
Well, that's the end of it. I just wanted to note.
Yeah.
Because somebody was going to say, oh, what about for plants?
Right.
And I want them to know, yes.
This is our neem oil plant appendix.
Exactly.
Something that is really rolls off the tongue.
It really does.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.
Wow. You know, Casey, can I do this bit a second time?
I doubt it. Honestly, you just can't make it through. You're too self-conscious.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Way too self-conscious.
All right. Now, that was some fascinating stuff, Alex.
That's right. That clip was good. Like, we don't know what it was.
What did we just say? What are we just talking about?
Classic, completely arbitrary there that didn't make it into the show.
Exactly.
Casey, we've got one final clip here. Mm-hmm. This is something that I had a very hard time cutting from this episode.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much, but I thought, you know what? Sometimes you gotta kill your darlings, as they say,
yep,
you know?
Yep. Yeah, this is why I cut down only trees that I plant myself.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Thank you.
So this is there's no easy way to say this. This is a smell test between curry powder and garam masala.
Exactly. And you know what? A lot of times, Alex and I, we have a lot of fun on this podcast.
Yeah.
In the background. And let's say it's fun for us. And sometimes we have to admit to ourselves, what's fun for us is not always fun for everybody else.
Yes.
So we only give it to the people who pay for it.
I will say, Casey, every time we share something that we think is going to be not fun for everybody else, those are without fail everybody's favorite things.
Yeah, I guess that's true. People do enjoy when we're silly and don't think that anyone's going to like it. All right, good point.
So I'm hyping up this clip that's coming up here.
So hopefully you like it.
Please enjoy the smell test. That's the smell test between curry powder and, as Casey put it, the powder that goes into curries.
Yes.
Well, Casey, the last little thing I've got here, I've got a jar of curry powder.
Okay.
And a jar of garam masala.
Okay.
So we're going to do a little smell test before we go to our break.
Okay. Okay. So what am I smelling for here?
I don't know if you're smelling with intent. Just close your eyes and inhale. Casey's got I want you to actually do the curry powder first. I've got a little jar of curry powder. So Casey is going to take a nice big, do you need a palate cleanser?
Yeah, I'm cleaning my palate.
Cucumber water?
I'm just going to smell my microphone that I talk into every day.
Casey's going to take a nice big whiff of the curry powder, not too deep as to get it into your, you know,
okay,
nose.
Okay. The curry powder, traditionally speaking, whatever that means anymore,
right,
is very sweet smelling. Mm. It's got a lot of high notes to it,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it so that if I put it on something, it'll brighten it, I think.
Wow. Now, well, before you take a smell of the masala,
yep.
take another nice big whiff of the curry and really ingrain that smell into your brain.
It smells good.
Okay, Casey's got the smell. Now go ahead and take a sniff of the garam masala.
Whoa!
Okay, this is exactly the outcome I was hoping for.
Ooh, it's far more musty is not the right term, but it's a lower scent.
I would say it's like richer potentially, deeper.
I think that's true. Yeah, both of those things.
Casey's taking another sniff.
Also, it smells more nuanced, I think. Like, there's a lot of other little things in there that when you think you got it all, one's just like, hey, don't forget about me.
Isn't that just brilliant, Casey? Very well said.
It does. It doesn't taste sweet. It tastes very much like I'd put it on something and I'd be like, ugh, that's a little better. But
well, yeah, you don't eat it like that necessarily.
Yes, yeah. I know. I have my own garam masala actually, so I make it with that curry dish that I love so much.
Ah, there you go. Well,
but then
yes,
again, I also put in curry powder because it has fenugreek in it.
Oh, fenugreek?
Yes. And I do not have fenugreek myself.
I have a ton if you want to take some home.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah. That would make it officially way better, probably.
There you go.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Casey, what I'm hoping to impart on you is that garam masala is like the OG, the real deal, the real article, right? It is so nuanced. It has so much going on in it. It's like a beautiful blend of rich roasted spices and herbs. And then the curry powder is also smells good, but it's more base, I think. Like, it's more sort of starter kit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has far fewer spices in it.
Yeah.
And curated for, let's just say, a white palette, potentially.
A British palette, perhaps.
Curated for, you know, a more European palette.
Yeah, 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 most definitely. That is fascinating.
Because we don't have a lot of, where you and I, our lineage comes from,
yeah.
We don't have a lot of chili peppers and a wide variety of interesting flavors in our spices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you go even further north, it gets worse.
It gets worse.
Wow, that clip was so good.
It really was. I just want to go back and listen to all those episodes now, right now.
Well, everybody, we hope you enjoyed the look behind the scenes here this episode and the trailer for Triazaki Month coming up.
Uh-huh.
And our big reveal, or our tease for our big reveal.
Yeah.
For Completely Arbitrary Tremium. We are so excited to show you what we came up with. And that is happening on this coming Monday, if you're listening to this on the Thursday that it's released.
That's right.
We can't wait, Casey.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So we hope that everyone will follow us to this new journey we're taking,
mm-hmm.
on this new journey. And yeah, we're excited to see where it's going to go. So thank you for listening to our silly little things. And again, if you want more of this, that kind of stuff, to hear all these little fun quips, and you want to support the show, then wait till Monday and we'll tell you how.
Yeah, baby.
Aside from that, enjoy the rest of this week. And by the time you're listening to this, I think we can say happy December.
Yes, happy December. Happy Triazaki, everyone.
Happy Triazaki.
And thank you so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.